everybody. I'm Scott Arnold. I'm the chair of the MBAA Flight Attendants Committee. My vice chair is sitting back there, Marianne Fash, with the Boeing Company. I'm with Air Care Solutions Group, which is FACS Training, Air Care Crews Access. Very pleased to present the Flight Attendants Committee coordinated session today, which is Crew Fatigue and Stress, presented by Roger Shaw. Mr. Shaw is currently the team leader, Airman Education Programs, Aerospace Medical Education Division, Civil Aerospace Medical Institute, which is CAMI, the FAA, and I think you reside also in Oklahoma City, correct?
Norman,
okay.
If you're a Texan, I'm not happy with you.
The Airman Education Programs area supports the National Aviation Safety Prevention Programs and teaches aviation physiology, human factors, and survival courses. Mr. Shaw earned a BS degree from the University of Oklahoma, an MS degree in education from Portland State University, and has a Master in Aeronautical Science from Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. He's a retired U.S. Air Force pilot with over 3,000 hours on the C-7 Caribou, the B-52 bomber, and rescue helicopters. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Roger Shaw.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Actually, how I got in this business was I was closed a helicopter unit at MacDill, and they needed somebody over to deal with the F-16 folks that were getting information overload on the computer and getting 9Gs on the aircraft. And I said, well, I got a master's in phys ed. And they go, you're in there. So actually, my degree is in education, but it's a minor in exercise physiology and education. I know it doesn't show, but I'm 66. So we're going to talk about what causes fatigue in here. Is there any government people in here? See, I thought there'd be somebody recording this because I'm the FAA guy at fatigue and stroll. You're recording it too? And they're recording it, so I can't tell you good jokes. I got good jokes, but what the deal is, I've been married 41 years, 7 kids, 28 cars, and 13 dogs. So I'm a set person to talk about fatigue and stress, but not decision-making, okay? Number 7 just graduated from the University of Oklahoma and announced yesterday that she's going to work on her master's because she can't find a job. She's an international student. She's 5'11". She looks like a model. And she speaks Spanish. She's got a minor. She's been to Colombia, Spain, all those places, and she can't find a job. I told her, I said, McDonald's needs people that can speak Spanish. But she wasn't buying into that. So she's getting a master's. So I'm not off the payroll at 66 years old, you know. And so I got to have 3 more years to pay the house off. So I can't tell you a good joke because I'll get fired. You know, government guys, you insult somebody, they call the administrator, and they go, bad ago, Roger said this, did that. So any Texans from here? Any Texas folks? Okay. This is for you, because I'm an OU guy. If there's 2 flies in a kitchen in Texas, which one is the cowboy? You're from there, too? The one that lands on the range. How's that? The one that lands on the range? You got that? See? That's legal. I'll tell you one more, because this is sort of true. In Oklahoma City, there was 3 maintenance guys and I work at the FAA Center. We went downtown Oklahoma City, if you're over there. It's called a new airplane bar, and they had this big aircraft out front, and you walked in there. It was brand new. This was about a month ago. If you're there, come, we'll thank you. Anyway, walked in, sat down, they got aircraft everywhere. It just exudes aviation, man. Pulled up to the bar, and there's 4 of us, and I said, I need 4 drinks. They said, okay, I'll buy. So they said, 40 cents. I said, 40 cents? Yeah, 40 cents for 4 drinks. They go, whoa. Okay. So we're drinking there. And pretty soon he said, hey, another round, please. He says, 40 more cents. And I go, wait a minute. You can't make a living selling 8 drinks for 80 cents. He said, I don't need it. I won the first Oklahoma lottery. And don't care about money, just wanted aviators, people that were interested in aviation to come in here and have a good time. And I'm going, wow, this is... So I'm sitting there drinking. I look down there, and there's 2 guys, 3 of them sitting down there at the end of the bar doing nothing. And I said, finally I said to the bartender, hey, what's 3 guys doing at the end of the bar down there? Says, oh, they're pilots waiting for happy hour. I said, you guys don't like that. Unless you're a pilot, you probably don't like that. But okay. I thought that might go over with flight attendants, you know, but I guess not. Talk about fatigue and stress. I'm not going to tell you. What I'm passing on to you is from the, at CAMI, we have the 500 division, which is human factor research, and I'm just passing on with information from, I've gained from that and from the human factor course we teach, the two-day CRM course, into one section on fatigue, and I gleaned it into one, but I wanted to find some stuff and some of the factors in there that why we do human factors. It's a soft science, which means it's not black and white. And the only reason we're talking about fatigue and stress today is that safety and efficiency in the aircraft. So we don't bend metal, nobody gets hurt, and everybody can live longer. So we really want to try to figure out how to do fatigue. And if you've watched the newspaper, that's the biggest item on the NTSB and the FAA's thing. So I'm going to tell you sort of some of my feelings with that, where fatigue comes from, which you probably know. I hopefully will tell you how to handle it in the aircraft environment or how it should be handled. Here's a definition I pulled up. Fatigue is a feeling of weariness, tiredness, or lack of energy. That's actually a definition of fatigue that's out there. And by the way, if there's any slides that you want, we have a booth down there. I can offload the basics, definitions and stuff for you, or anything I got on here, okay? I took it from somebody. I'll give it to you. It's free. You paid for it. Taxpayer. You guys, by the way, do you know what time it is? It's 3:15. When is the circadian rhythm dip? 3 to 5 in the morning, 3 to 5 in the afternoon. And how long does this take to get stagnant hypoxia when you're sitting down, the blood slides down in the gluteus maximus, there's nothing up there to think with? How long? Average. Stagnant hypoxia sets in. 45 minutes. So at 45 minutes, if I'm not, it got you up and you're in the circadian dip, you'd just be sitting there. You'd be like a government employee. Just, you're sort of there, but nothing's working inside. So I got to watch you because you lose, you get a gaze, you know, and we don't want that. We want to. What's wrong with the definition? There's something wrong with that definition as far as I'm concerned. I'll give you another one. What's wrong with it? It's a feeling, okay? And we are not good judges of our fatigue. And it says weariness, tiredness, or lack of energy. In aviation, we're not just worried about this physical body because at 66, I start working in the garden. When do I quit? It's easy. I just go, oh, that's it. There's nothing left. So I go sit down. That's that feeling. But we're not worried about that. What we're worried about is what's processing up here in the BBs. Okay? In other words, how are you starting to make decisions? And fatigue affects that. And so this definition here is a little better. To reduce efficiency, accomplishment, loss of power, or capability to respond to a stimulus. In other words, in the decision-making process or in that situational awareness or in that risk assessment, that all lowers down because you're fatigued, okay? And that's when you have the accidents. And when do we have an input on fatigue? When there's an accident. This room should be packed. People trying to figure out how to limit fatigue and stress because some of it you can get rid of it, some of you're stuck with, but you still got to fly with it. So how are you going to handle it, okay? Short term, I'm going to give you some definitions, and long term, just to get us on the same boat. By the way, we're not going 3 to 5. This says 3 to 5. There's no way I'm talking 3 to 5 on fatigue and stress. I don't pay that much. I'm government, man. That's no way. I mean, I'm thankful for coming, but no. He says, you're going to talk from 3 to 5 on fatigue. I said, I don't think so. I'm a talker, but not that long. Let's take a look at the acute. Bottom line, it's reversed by sleep and relaxation. And let me tell you this. I'm going to give you the bell curve in here for the average person on some of these subjects. There's always freaks. Okay? They're not really freaks, but they, oh, I don't need that, I do this, I do that. They're different. And it's okay, but I'm giving you the middle, I'm giving you the standard stuff here that says, what is relaxation to you? And each person in here is physiologically a different, and you're emotionally different and all else. So those things play different. So what we're looking at in this briefing, not just what you get here, but what you offload out in the hangar and what you talk about when you leave this room, because if you don't pass it on, it doesn't mean jack. Okay, it just helps you. Okay? So you're different. Everything's no side views if you're going to take a picture. I'm on a diet. I don't need side views. Okay? I had one the other day, and it was ugly. You know? Bad. Okay. Usually sleep and relaxation is an issue. Chronic fatigue more than 3 months. Okay? So does that have to be exactly 3 months? No. But you need to look at whether you're burning the candle at both ends. And if, is it, you know, is it longer than that? Okay? Now, I added this because somebody in one of my briefings asked about chronic fatigue syndrome. If it lasts longer than 6 months, you can go to the doc, okay, and you're not going to feel good, and things aren't going good for you, and they're going to say, well, what's wrong? And you're going to say, well, I just don't feel good. And you've got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, here's my assets, here's my liabilities, before you ever go fly. That's the main thing. But you got to look at your lifestyle, too, because you don't want to get into this. And we teach on the side of Southeast OSU, and there's a young lady in there working on her master's, adopted two new kids, and she's still sick because she was running 6 months, two graduate courses at a time, adopted two kids, new family, working a job in the Air Force. She got, I don't know, I haven't seen her, but I got a feeling this she's close to this, okay? And you can get in there. You got to look at you. You don't want to die early. So, observable signs you see in people, some of the things that you can see, they say this is all out of research, everything I'm giving you. One of the interesting things is some people lose weight, stop eating. Some people what? Eat more and gain weight, okay? But what we're interested about in the aviation business is not some of these things. We're going to show you some of that's the individual fatigue that you deal with, but there's irritability is an issue because that deals with communication and prioritization of workload that you're dealing on the job with another human being, and physical and emotional isolation. You know what? To run around the tree and sing Goomba or whatever that song is. You know, I'm out of here, man. I hate you. Or how about this decreased alertness and attention? That is a result of fatigue, and you need to put that in the BBs. That is what happens to people when they get, and some people are pretty easy, some people get ornery, okay? Okay, three categories. Now, if you came in here to find out what to fix, sometimes in your business, if you're flying, see where it says environmental? Operational, you can't fix that. The FAA is trying to fix it by giving you certain times that you can fly and how many sticks you can do in a day, and they're looking at all these, and they want more research in it. But you're going to be stuck with some of that. The only thing you can control with your fatigue level is that one right there. Okay, now, this is where you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the problem is this. Physical fitness. Are you fit? If you're up to snuff and fit, you're feeling better. You're a pretty good piece of machinery. How are your sleeping habits? How about this? Improper diet or overweight? I just tell you, I weighed in, and I'm 55 pounds overweight. I play ball at 210. And if I even go to the top level, I'm that. And I'm still pretty active, but if I don't take 50 pounds off when I hit 70 or so, I wonder why the knees and the legs are hurting or getting tired early. If I'm carrying an extra 50 pounds, that's that dog food I put up on my shoulders, about 30. You take off 50 pounds and I'm a machine again. Well, not quite. But, you know, that's a lot of, whoa, my, I wonder why the knees are hurting. Well, hello. You know, they got seasoning. That's all seasoning, you know. And, by the way, I'm married to a young lady. She's great. Susan, I've been 41 years. The only problem with her is she's had 7 kids, and she looks like she came out of college. She's gorgeous. Never gained a pound at all. She said, I gained weight. 5 pounds. She doesn't know what weight is. So I'm stuck with this ideal, you know, and she's really sweet about it. The other night I went out, and I'm eating salads and stuff, and I have a shrimp, 6 little shrimps, 6 little scallops, and a little chicken at the Red Lobster, all broccoli, and a salad with vinegar and oil. Now, wouldn't you think that's good? Say yes. Okay. Because I called her, and she said, oh, that's too much meat. You shouldn't eat that much meat. Hey, I'm going to die here in 20 years. What do you got? I got to eat something, you know. Anyway, physical fitness is an issue. How much are you supposed to exercise? I got a minor in this stuff, so I know the answer. Huh? Power day. You're close. Moderate attempts, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, or 20 minutes, 3 days a week. answer, why don't we do it? Come on, give me some hints. You know the answer. That's one of them. We're lazy, and we don't want to, what, take time to do it, and we're, what, busy. We're flying. The Air Force, we did. If we weren't flying, we'd go to the gym and play hoops for 2 hours, okay? But in the FAA, you get a half an hour lunch. So now you got to go home and do it, or you got to take time out for your personal life to do it. Now, I'm not saying this is the answer, but if you're not up to snuff with this, this is a fatiguing factor because your system is not working as good. I'm just saying put that in the formula when you're looking for your fly, okay? Sometimes, you know what I love? You know, we're going to talk about stress. And stress, oh, wow, it works. Sometimes it's called computer stress or automation. Part of this formula is to make sure you get some exercise. If you're not doing that, you're not the best you'll be, okay? Now, my knees went at 60, and I used to play hoops a lot, 3 times, 4 times a week. Now I swim. You know, you go back and forth in the stupid pool. My kids were swimming. I hate it, man. It's just boring. I'm on the second lap or the third, probably the 10th. You know, I can't even keep track of the laps. It sucks. But it does help the heart, but it doesn't lose what? Unless you're a 3-hour swimmer or something. So you got to, let me give you a shoe leather thing, how to lose weight. About 39, the metabolism starts kicking down on you, okay? It keeps kicking down. When you get to 55, the metabolism's down here. Now, the exercise is going to cut down because you're busy and you're getting older. So the metabolism's going down. Where's the lifestyle? It stays the same. You haven't changed anything. So what happens? You've got to stop eating, okay? So that's all I'm going to say on that because I look in the mirror and I go, boy, you really, that's ugly, okay? How much sleep should you get? If you go to the NASA countermeasure course when I went to, how much sleep are you supposed to get a night? How much? 8? Anybody else? 9? 8 plus or minus 2, they tell you. It depends on who. You, the stressors I'm going to talk about, it depends on that. It's 8 plus or minus 2. Okay? And you sort of got to know that. As you get older, I hate to tell you this, but when you get over 50, you're going to sleep more and what? You're going to like it less. You're not going to know it, but you're not sleeping as good when you're over 50. You started dying when you're 19 physiologically. How's that feel for a class? You know, well, I come in here and find out I'm dying. Good, I'm having a drink tonight. The more disrupted it is. So if it's more disrupted, then you're not getting a good night's sleep. So you say, well, I slept 8 hours. Well, you woke up 6 times. So you didn't sleep 8 hours. Okay? You got to put that in the formula when we say, how tired are you? Okay? 8 hours of disrupted sleep has a similar to little sleep. So last night when I woke up 4 times in a hotel because I just didn't feel like the bed in Norman, yeah, I went to bed at 11, 10 o'clock Central Time. I never have got off that. Got up at 7 because I wake up automatically at 6 at home. How many hours I sleep again? About 7. But I woke up a bunch. So I'm not the machine I was. Okay? It's just a factor. Your bedroom is supposed to be used. We'll talk about one thing. It's supposed to be dark. It's supposed to be quiet, cool temperature, comfortable. Well, you're supposed to walk into the bedroom, and you slide in there. Boy, it's boy, you can't hardly get in bed. You're asleep. How many people got a computer? Don't say. Computer in the room, reading bed, television in the room. Not supposed to be in there. It's supposed to be Zippo, okay? And so what does my wife do in bed? She reads in bed. So after how many, and I go to sleep at 10, I'm out. But she'll come in and say, you mind if I read in bed? Well, she knows the answer. My God, we've been married 41 years. I go, whoa, I sure like to be dark and sleepy in here, you know? And I go, okay, all right. No. But I've had a lot of CRM training, so I start crying. She'll turn the light off. But, I mean, you know, it takes training. You got to know who you're with when that happens, you know? And I can get her to go, oh, boy, man, I'm really sick. You know, I'm going downstairs to the bedroom. Okay, I'll stop reading. You know, guess who doesn't have a good sleep cycle? Susan. She wakes up 3, 4, gets up, goes and works on a computer. I had a guy say, well, I read in bed and I sleep great. Then don't worry about it. You know, if you're sleeping good and you're getting rest, don't worry about those things. But generally, that's supposed to be a nice, quiet place. Okay, one other thing I want to bring up on the sleep business. See, that's 30 minutes, 45. It takes 45 minutes to get in deep sleep, bell curve average, okay? So if you're going to take a power nap or a combat nap, And if you don't go past 30 minutes, you're not going to dump into deep sleep. And that's that nap business, okay? So if you don't go past 30 or you max in that calendar, this maintenance thing they handed out, it'll tell you 45. Some people can do that. You can. I can sit. I'm a professional with the FAA. I can sit in front of my computer, take a nap, my fingers move, and nobody knows I'm not awake. But that takes 18 years with the FAA, you know. I hope that's not sent home to OEM. But I could take a nap at home, lay down, and not even think I went to sleep, and 15 minutes went by. I'm like, I can do that, and it makes me feel good. But some people, they can't do that. So you got to start to take a look at yourself and say, well, I need a 15-minute nap. Wake me up, because if not, boom, you're going down in there. Sort of, once again, that's a physiology, okay? Take a nap. Oh, boy, there's my buddies. If I'd had those dogs, I would have had kids. No, I had the dogs first. I'd have showed the kids how to what? Behave. Yeah, they do everything I tell them. Let's see if we got that thing. One other study I want to put in your little noggin up here. This study was done back east with the Army at a school, at a university. 8 hours sleep, 8 hours sleep, 8 hours sleep for 3 days. Now, here's where I want you to put this in here and think about travel. For 7 days in a row, this group had 9 hours sleep, 7, 5, 3. Look at their alertness test at the end of 7 days. Remember I said that alertness phase? You're down there. So you're on a trip 5, 6 days, and you're sleeping 7 hours. You're not as what you used to be. Now, they used to think you could recover sleep debt. So they put them 3 days in a row. Everybody got 8 hours sleep. Good night, 8 hours sleep. Guess what? They never did get back. So you need to look that. You need to look at that. If you're not getting, now that doesn't mean you can't fly. Just saying you're not up to, you're not the best you were at that time. And you've got to put that in the formula as a crew and say, hey, we've been on the road 5, 6 days. We're not sleeping good. As far as alertness and stuff, we're down there. We're just not up to, we're not as used to be, as good as we used to be. How much water, put that, this is the individual, how much water you drink? 8, do you need it? How do you tell if you're dehydrated? Thirsty, okay, how else? Urinating, if the water is going in, it's not the color, it's in the toilet. You know, if it's brown, dark, more fiber, it means you're dehydrated. Coffee, caffeine, beer, stuff like that, it's a diuretic. There used to be a thing at the OTS, that if you were this color, you're okay. If it's this color, drink a quart of water in the next hour. This color, 2 quarts, you know. Red or brown, you're dying, man. Go out and have a party. No, that's not true. Is that tape? Yeah, it is. No, it could be something else, kidney stone or something. But you need to start drinking water, because water is a real key to this. And if you're getting a headache, check your water intake, okay? Because you're drinking coffee. And if you're drinking, you want to fill up quick, the sports drink is down in OU football game or basketball, 2 parts water, 1 part Gatorade. So it's not as thick. And it goes in quicker, it has a little taste to it. So you want to do that. So you need to take, these are the individual things that cause fatigue. I'll be out there working in that garden, sweating the head off. Boy, I go in, slug a couple of big things of water, and the knees start working better. They just feel better. So water is it, and that's not even this, the thinking thing that we're talking about. We're worried about the thinking thing. You know you're tired, okay? Okay, let's look at the environmental stuff. Family, work environment, bad weather, noise and vibration, high or low temperature, you're getting in and off the aircraft, it's sweating, it's humid, you know, that kind of stuff. I come from Oklahoma here to Florida, and it's humid, I'm sweating, and it's just the humidity, I don't like it. I want to get naked. That'd be ugly, so I keep the coat on. But I just don't like sweating. You know, I hate that. And you go to those kind of, that affects your attitude that I'm going to mention. That affects fatigue. That's up here. Okay? I would fly a 12-hour B-52 mission. That's okay. But if I flew an 8-hour helicopter mission and landed, that noise and vibration, shoot, the Volkswagen bus felt like a Cadillac when I drove home. The next day it sucked. But, you know, it was great right after. So, what kind of aircraft are you in? The weather, you're bouncing around, that kind of stuff like that. High and low temperatures, work environment. And this is, the family's an issue, okay? Family's an issue. That's the environment around you that you deal with, okay? Here's the ice storm in Oklahoma 2 years ago. How many people consider themselves night people? Anybody like to stay up at night? Okay. How about morning people? Some people don't care. my theory. If I want to get a PhD, which I don't, I'll hire deeper, I would do it on sleep because I think, here's what happened in Norman, Oklahoma. We had that ice storm. I had 6 nights, no electricity. I'm a mile from the OU Stadium. No electricity. We had the potbelly stove, 1884. Had a fireplace. Had candles. It's like Grandpa's house. You start sitting in front of that fire, you know, the candles. 7:30, everybody what? Going to bed. It's cool. You know, you get into bed, you freeze. Great. Then we start getting up 5:36. She, grandmother was going out. She was living with us. She's a TV-aholic. We had to send her over to Carol's house. A friend of mine said, that's how you get rid of your mother-in-law. You just go out there and flip that electricity off. So, oh, TV's broke. But that's not that. We didn't do that. But here's the deal. For 6 nights, 7:30, like the labs, we went to bed, just like Grandpa did out in the old general store in Pendleton, Missouri. Get up early. Guess what happened after electricity comes on? TV, computer. If you cut it off, I think there's a lot to that. In fact, if you're not sleeping well, you're supposed to cut off the TV half an hour prior to bed. Because the BBs are operating what you're watching. And they need to settle down, okay? And if you're going to exercise, do it 3 hours before you go to bed. And you should eat before 6. And most of us, we're going out tonight, probably 7, 8. I'm having solid rabbit food. That sucks. But most of you eat a good meal, you know? And you're just tacking on you. Hate to ruin your night. Operational, this is the one that you're stuck with, that we're trying to work, heavy work schedule, multiple time zones that you cross, shift work, night operations. In Okinawa, Japan, we're at a rescue coordination center. We rescue from Guam down to Australia's Indian Ocean up the Sea of Oscod. We worked assets, satellite, anything, ships, airplanes, anybody needed help, we worked at satellite trying to get support. And that center, we had 8 officers handling a list of 2 at a time. We go 2 days, 2 swings, 2 minutes. So we work 8-4, 4-12, 12-4. So 2-2-2. Time we got to that 2 nights and the swing, we didn't know. The body didn't know where you're at. Okay? But if we weren't working assets, what could we do? One person could lay the futon out, take a 30-minute nap on the lawn. Okay, that environment worked. Okay, but that not always works. The other person stayed up. But I'm just telling you, it affects you. When I went to Russia in 05 to talk to the CRM group up there, we left on Sunday. Saturday got there, Sunday set up Monday. Tuesday and Wednesday, we talked. Day off Thursday, got back Friday. How much sleep did I get every night? 3.5 hours. And I tried the first day to get to the cycle, walk, be light, and all that stuff. Didn't make it. 2 in the morning, I'd be up, go, gee, and then at 7 o'clock, the buzzer's going off, you're going. How did I make it? We had 80 people in an auditorium. We had coffee. We had an interpreter. And we had to slow down because I had to talk the briefing through the interpreter. So I slowed down. And I wasn't doing a bunch of technical stuff, like flying an aircraft or moving around. We were just going through some stuff slow. So I'm saying, if you're not dealing with a bunch of technical stuff, you can handle that, but not if you're under periods of stress and things like that. You need to realize that's the factor that you need to put in the crew, okay? Well, come back here. Any questions you got on this stuff, let me know. Holler up, okay? This is the circadian rhythm guideline. We have a handout down there at the booth. By the way, we got a booth. All the stuff you want, come down and get it from us. 1 hour, 1 day. I still haven't got off. At 10 o'clock tonight, I don't want to go to sleep. I want to go to sleep at, it's 11 o'clock here, but it'll be 10 o'clock Central Time, okay? Transcontinental, 3 to 4, 5 to 6, 12. You're stuck with that. So if you're flying across those time zones, you're going to be tired because you cannot catch up unless you stay there. And how many people go across those time zones in this business? A lot of it. I mean, that you're stuck with it. So you say, well, that's the operational environment I'm in. What can you do? Well, you got to recognize the fact that when you look in the mirror, here's my assets, here's my liability, how am I today? And if you're on a crew, you need to talk about that. These are recognition of operational fatigue errors, task saturation, ease of distraction, channelized attention. If I overlaid this slide with the research that they call loss of situational awareness, it would be identical in the top 3. When you get fatigued, You get task saturated, even with the stuff you're used to, unless you've got some real good habit pattern. You get channelized and you get distracted easy, okay? And it really does happen. Slow reaction time, poor judgment, and you lower your standards. The big one I like on this one is this, which means your risk assessment is what? Gone down. Okay? So you've lowered, you said, oh, like I said, Morris, and you're not irritable. And that's communication. And when the communication psychs down, by the way, my wife teaches English, and she's an English teacher, and she goes, how do you teach? Your words don't sound right. Sometimes the sentence structure is a little lousy. You know? I teach pilot. I don't care. You know, if I say something, you know, that's, you know, like that. She says, I didn't say that. Don't say it. She did. So if I say a word, you go, boy, that's pretty good. You get it? And if you get it, don't, you know, hold your hand up, you know. Look, irritability. People are not communicating. CRM, communication, prioritization, and workload. Now, you got to have a crew that says, we're going to do that. You know, you got to have everybody on the same sheet of music. Okay? Now, if you're not in that, then you need to talk about it. Safety officer or somebody needs to talk about that. Okay, let's get you to stress. We're doing pretty good. Stress is some. This is what I'm adding this into fatigue because I think this causes some of the fatigue that you're in. You need to know what that is. And its bottom line is what causes you stress. My dad was an only child. He came to our house. We had two sons. Of his first, Reggie was 6 years later. He wasn't sure why he had him after me. He comes to our house. We'd have seven kids running around. He's about 6 days, he'd have to leave. There's too much action. Eyeballs are going, he just couldn't handle it. No, he didn't. But he's just easy going down. Different stress levels. Physical stressors, we talked about that. That's the noise. That's the operational stuff you deal with. Physiological stressors, we talked about sleep and fatigue. Measure how much you're getting. Take a look at that, okay? We don't talk about this too much, but this is a big factor in your fatigue stress level. Because we used to start briefing in the Air Force, even you got heavy divorce going on, you got financial problems, you got stuff going on, it happens. You don't have to elaborate, but you come into the briefing and say, I got some stuff going on back here. And it affects how you process information under that aviation stress. And if you don't think you got that, you're not living. But, you know, I got seven kids. I got one. I don't know. He's an alcoholic. I don't know where he is. I know he's living on his own somewhere, but I can't do anything about it. Is that a stressor? Yes, it is, but I can't do anything for it. But if I was flying with someone and got a call from him, I would have to say, you know, he's over here doing this now. And I'd have to say, you know, it bothers me. Because it does. It's awkward. You know, you've got to recognize there's some psychology that bothers you. And if you recognize that, then you're up there only looking at yourself saying, here's my assets, here's some of my liabilities, some of the baggage I got. And if you do that, you're aware of it, no different than a risk assessment checklist. You said, I'm aware of some of the things that are causing me stress. That's all you're saying. And then you're way ahead of the game when you're doing your job, okay? Stress affects the way you process that information and to make decisions. Hopefully CRM's not this. I believe in resource management, all right, you're the resource and I'm the management. Hope we got past that, okay? Although that's the way I feel sometimes when I'm in the garden. I'm the gopher. Anyway, I'm getting old from this garden, by the way. Predictable universal interaction. A lot of times I like these briefings because I can offload some of my stress that I would say to Susan, but I wouldn't do it, she'd kill me. But I get it off my chest and I'm much better on the phone at night with her. So I appreciate you all coming in here. Let me do this. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Fatigue, we talked about it. Time pressures. Anytime you got time pressure, you're going to have stress. And in the cockpit, if you know anything about crew resource management, deals with communication, prioritization, and workload. And there's two factors that are different than at home when you do that stuff. Time and death is a factor. Okay? Those are the factors that are involved in human factors. And CRM training, that's why a lot of CRM instructors are going to the hospitals and stuff. Where would they use that in there? Surgery, EMS rooms, you got time constraints, you got emergency things, you got death as a possibility. And when that happens under that time, if you haven't recognized your fatigue level, you're not operating well there, okay? And those are the things you need to realize, not in the cockpit, everywhere, how you deal with human beings. Difficult or unexpected situations. Most of the aviators that we deal with in the business you're in, we don't like that. Or we wouldn't be in this business. We like structure. That's why we're in this business. And we set the structure up because we're good. And then all of a sudden Murphy comes in and guess what? We get one of those. That causes stress. And you have to look in the mirror how much stress that causes you. You know? The older I get, the less stress I have because I know I don't have much time to fool with it anyway. You know, I'm going to die at 20. I'm going to have a party tonight. Maybe. That's the average. I don't know. Personal problems, you have those? Don't say anything. If you don't, count your blessings, buddy. I mean, gal, everybody. You're going to have personal problems. It will be a stressor to you. You're not walking around with two legs if you don't have them, okay? Or you're pretty hard, I guess. I don't know what to say. You're a pretty hard person. I'd like to meet you. Write a book. Get rich. Just see if I get a huge stress. Definition. These are long, and I wouldn't put them up here, but I think they got some stuff to them. Bottom line is, acute stress, you are used to handling it. It's a fight or flight. You can handle that. Acute stress is something that comes on right now, and boy, you pump it up, and you go fix it, and you deal with it. And you, boy, you handle that job, and you, everything's working good, okay? Now, the problem runs in with this stuff is this stuff right here, chronic stress. It's an ongoing physiological arousal, which means it's not stopping. And your fight or flight goes, boom, you can't get out of it. You're stuck in that sucker. You're used to handling acute, but you don't have any relaxation time. And I'm telling you, if you want to live longer, pull the throttle back and take some time out and relax. Because if you're always in chronic stress, you're going to get sick. They estimate right here that up to 90% of doctor's visits are conditions where stress plays a role. And I can tell when I go to Oshkosh or on the road for a couple of weeks, and then I come home and I got to go again, all of a sudden I get a sore throat or a scratch and I start getting a germ. Why is that? I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not rest. I'm on the road. Recognize that fact. Because healthy lifestyle, if you're burning the candle at both ends on that individual one, you can't then go to do the operational and the environmental stress and handle that fatigue out on the road. High pressure jobs, loneliness, busy traffic, you name it. We're all different in here. What causes you? What causes that stress? You look in the mirror and take a good look, okay? Stressors in aviation, according to the research, guess what? Time pressures again. Does that cause a... Yes, it is. Workload, terrain, weather, traffic, pressure in the company. Amen. System malfunction, fatigue, we beat that to death. Those are some of the stressors that are out there in aviation. Under high workloads, you admit omission of items, increased error opportunity. Remember that channelized stuff? And you get irritable. Revert to habit patterns. And why do I put that in there? We do a lot of briefings with people that fly, maintenance and stuff. If you don't have a lot of training and currency in whatever you're doing, you don't have any habit patterns. You don't have anything to pull up to. You're stuck with just dealing with it now, and you don't have any long-term memory to handle this stressor. So once again, you've got to look at your assets and liabilities in the environment that you're in. Do you have some stuff in the long-term memory that you can handle? Because if you don't, you are going to channelize, and you're not going to hear things. Things aren't going to happen right to you. Now, you're not pilots, but if you know anything about aviation, this aircraft, what's that horn? Put the gear down. It's trying to tell him something. Put the gear down. The gear is not down. They're not hearing Jack. Why not? They're focused on making that landing there. Okay? And they're filming it. And it's so ugly. Because it gets shown every. It makes a good landing. Oh, boy, that doesn't sound good. This guy's hand. Jeez. I had a guy in the do a two-day CRM course at the Academy for Inspectors, and he told me about this. The same thing happened. I won't tell you where he's from, but there was two guys in there doing it, and they had a personality conflict on the ground, and they're high energy, and they got in the cockpit, and they're talking and arguing about stuff, and guess what? They got under stress, got in a conflict, forgot to put the gear down. That wasn't this one. It was another one. If you don't have a lot of training and you're not tired, you're not alert, you'll end up doing that. Threats caused by stress, too high or too low work situations, and fatigue. Now, the reason I put this up here, I want to show you this performance curve, because when we talk about stress, we're talking about something that, it punches you out, you wake up, you get all angry and everything. I'm telling you right now, you can have no stress. Right here where it says boredom and complacency, that's low stress. That can be just as dangerous as you being pumped up and ready to go. You're really optimizing this. And the problem runs in this optimism, right? Optimism, this top performance, is that over a period of 6-7 days on a trip, your fatigue level starts going down. And this is sort of hard to stay up there and handle that alertness. And so you start sliding back there. This is distress over here. This is low stress, okay? And that can happen. For pilots and crew, what causes that boredom? What do you think? And I'm going to tell you what it is. Computers. Everything's computerized. You punch it in, you don't fly an airplane anymore. It does it all itself. You're sitting there driving along. Wonder why people go to sleep flying airplanes? They're not flying an airplane. It's once they're all sitting back there, and then all of a sudden, you get sleepy, you're going to sleep. You know? You're going out. When you're sleepy, you're going out. I give my son this briefing, the one that's got a master's in chemical engineering. I can't even read the book. He's coming back from Tulsa at 3 in the morning. I've been drinking, not partying, trying to get home for church. Gets outside Oklahoma City, goes to sleep at the wheel, wakes up, over-controls the car, hits the embankment, comes over here, destroys the car. He's okay. When you're tired, you're going to sleep. Okay? 73-year-old guy coming out of Tulsa. Springfield, on the Will Rogers Turnpike. He's driving a semi. He's got the semi set at 73 miles an hour. He's been working since 4 in the morning. It's in the afternoon. They have a repair thing. They're backing up the cars. He runs over 10 cars. Falls asleep at the wheel, kills 10 people. You hear about that? No, but I'll tell you what, if some pilot falls asleep at the airplane and kills 10, I'll tell you where it's going to be, right on the front page. But my dad was a state cop in Missouri for 26 years. People run off the road all the time going to sleep. When you're tired, you're going to go to sleep. And you've got to be careful with that, because that's what happens down here during those lulls. During stagnant hypoxia sets in. How are we doing? Ooh, man, you guys are looking pretty good. You need another joke. In Arkansas, there's chicken coops over there. They got 2 doors. You know why? If they had 4 doors, it'd be a chicken sedan. You can't get fired for that joke. Trust me. You can't get fired for that. This guy right here gets about 26 seconds. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to take a bird, right, boom, it's an F-16. The reason I show this guy's got a lot of long-term memory and practice, and they are very efficient with what's going on. How long did he miss the jet? That's 6 seconds to make a decision or he's dead. 0 seat won't work. I'm saying that you better be up to snuff when that time constraints come in. You better have a lot of good training and currency. And if you're not, you need to brief it as a crew and say, hey, we're not accepting this environment because of such and such. Now, you're stuck with some of it, but you're still part of it. Pass on this stuff, okay? Threats caused by fatigue, fire sleep. We talked about that. You're not getting enough sleep, and you're stuck with it. See, I didn't give you an answer operationally. I said, you're stuck with it. All you got to do is look at your assets and liabilities and say, here's where I am. I'm not doing well. Work schedule, circadian rhythm disruptions, having a class on fatigue, 3 o'clock afternoon, NBA, what the heck, you know? This is the one that kills you right here, recreation extra. You go out and party for 6 days, and then you go to what? Work. Where are you at before you even start? See, that's part of that process to say, boy, before I do this, before I go on a 12-hour B-52 mission 4 days prior, I'm trying to get some sleep because I'm going to be taking off at night, flying and landing in the morning with the sun in my eyes, and everybody's got the letdown plate because we're not up to snuff. That's not our standard. And you gotta put, you can do this, but you can't do it once you're gonna start going across time zones. You gotta back up a little, cover your six a little, okay? You gotta look at that. We don't look at that enough. And tedious task, which for pilots and crews is automation. Okay? We just got stuff that's just boring. And that causes fatigue. I got a copier in Oklahoma City that I don't use. In fact, if I walk up to that copier and try to make a correlating, it breaks. So the administrative secretary says, don't go there. You got something to make. So I give it to her. Because it breaks every time I go up there. Copy that. Now, if you get to that point, you really are stretched. You know what? No, that's not true. Actually, I've thought about doing it to the computer in Oak City, but I haven't done it yet. I think I have that sucker. But I'm saying, you got automated systems. You know, you start to do that, and you start playing with it, and it goes, what the heck is this? The computer geek, and I go, what is this? And he goes, I don't know. Get rid of it. Reboot. So it reboots. And where is it? It's not there. What is it? I don't know. You know, just that for a controller and a structured guy, I don't like that. So you got an automated system that can cause you stress, okay? Tips, manage, discussion, communication among the crew. I'm tired. Boy, I don't feel too good. Watch my six. That's the key. Communication, prioritization, workload. Review procedures, goals, increase cross-check. This isn't just for pilots. It's for everybody on the aircraft. You're not up to snuff. Boy, I don't feel too good, you know? It's not a good day. Talk about it. Poor planning. This is bad planning. This is the bathroom down at the University of Texas. We got running water up here at OU. I tell you, we don't win football, but we got running water. I love it. Some people say, well, I planned well. No, you didn't plan well, you know. Most of us, by the way, the reason we get tired and fatigued is we overestimate our what? Talents, capabilities, you know. I make a list. We're going to do this on Saturday. Boom, 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 boom. I get halfway through. There's no way, you know. Financially, kids, you know, whatever. You overestimate. Oh, that, I'd do that in a day. No, it takes a week. You know, we overestimate how much time it takes to do something. And this is a crew resource management course that came out. The reason I put this AC-120 is you're on a crew where it says briefings and debriefings. That's where you talk about this stuff. You tell somebody on a crew, man, I don't feel too good, okay? And once again, if you're stuck with a crew that doesn't have a good leader in the organization, CRM is only good from the organization down at the bottom and bottom all the way up. If you don't have good communications, if you don't have good prioritization of workload and you're not communicating with that crew, then you got to deal with that. Yeah, you got to make. There's four times you can tell your boss no. When are they? One, safety, illegal, unethical, or immoral. That one there you throw out in America. I don't even know what that is anymore. But anyway, safety and efficiency in the cockpit. If somebody's trying to kill you, you know, you ought to say, well, maybe, you know, what's it worth? What's your risk assessment worth? And hopefully you've got some stuff to control that, okay? Now, I'm going to show you a couple of traits. I gave you fatigue and stress. I'm going to show you why we have problems in fatigue and stress in all human factors. Traits shared in the aviation community. We like success. This isn't just pilots. These are people in the aviation business, those folks down in that big building down there. We avoid feelings. We don't like too much feelings, you know. And I get a little feelings once. I saw this on a shirt, and I bought this ticket. I wanted you to see it. I saw it at Ice Guys. It says right here, the average pilot, despite the somewhat swaggering exterior, is very much capable of love, feeling, affection, intimacy, and caring. And then right below it, these feelings just don't involve anybody else. Now, that's just pilots. But I'm saying those are aviator traits. We like this, too. We like tasks. We like checklists, compartments. We don't like surprises. We like ritual. We like structure. But when that gets disrupted, what happens? Stress, you know? And it depends on who you're with. We're all dealing with that. We have a hard time with that. And, oh, wow, we got ego issues. I used to think it was pilots being in the Air Force with the darts. You know, I was a humble pilot, but I thought everybody else was. And then I went to work for the Office of Aviation Medicine. This is recorded, isn't it? Started working for doctors. Ooh, man, they own the world. They think they do everything. They know everything. Between Dr. Jones, my boss, my wife, Doug Sewell, who's an engineer, they know everything. If I got a question, they know it all. They know everything. I don't know why I'm poor, because they know it all. I can just go ahead and go, oh, yeah, I know this. Then they don't. Anyway, the ego issue. Work to protect the ego. Like to look up. We don't like help. And what are we supposed to do with the crew? Help. If I'm not feeling good, or I can communicate with you and say that, you know, and if I say, well, you wimp, doesn't hurt your feelings. You know, say, oh, I'm tired. Eh, you weenie, what's wrong with you? Okay, I'll help you, you know. But we got feelings, we got personalities and stuff. You got to know who's on the crew with you, you know. I cannot say, see, I've been married. I teach aviation physiology, and I would say, okay, now, once in a while, this crew will have a brain fart. My wife says, you can't say that anymore. I go, what? We use that all the time in physiology and air. Oh, no, that's make up something different. And I go, okay, how about a brain divot? That doesn't sound as good, though, does it? So I don't use brain fart. I use brain divot anymore. So if you ever see Susan, you might see her now, son of a. I don't use that word anymore. But that insults. She's, oh, that's not right. And I even got written up once for a doctor for saying, you know, this really sucks. And the lady wrote this up, oh, he shouldn't say the word suck. And even the federal surgeon said, well, that's okay. I say that once in a while. Now, if I'd have said, you suck, that would have been different. But it was just like, you know, no. But you see, people have different feelings. You've got to understand there's different folks out there, and you got to learn to communicate and not hurt anybody's feeling when it comes to what? Safety and efficiency in the aviation cockpit. Or the crew. I said cockpit, don't insult it. I mean in the crew. We don't want bent metal. We don't want any more accidents on the front page. We don't want that, especially when it relates to that human factor, that 80%. Don't let that happen to us, okay? Attitudes. Learned. You have certain biases you got to recognize. Two organizations, the people, okay? You have different things. You have them, but you can't let that get in the way of safety and efficiency in doing the job. And you got to recognize the fact. Now, I'll say this on tape because Chris isn't here. My son-in-law who married Chris, my daughter Evie, they're in the New Tribe Bible Institute, and they're going to New Guinea. They're learning how to live on the land. Chris is from California, and he has holes in his ears. He's got them rings. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, the state cop son, 26 years old, I look and I go, man, I just can't hardly handle those holes in his ears. But he's a great kid. I love him. But, you know, it's just like, whoa. I said, well, yeah, well, I like him. Okay, you know. Well, you look good in New Guinea. You know, maybe a stick one in here. I don't, you know, we talk about that and stuff. But, I have some biases. I just go, well, yeah, there's stupid biases. But I do. It bothers me. I said, ah, it's okay. You know, you get used to it. But you have biases that you need to recognize you grew up with. And it does shut down communications once in a while. You need to learn that. Now, how do you handle attitude? The diversity. You got to look at some standard operating procedures. And that's what I'm going to leave you with. Because if you don't have some standard operating procedures that guide you in your job or your organization, then you're open to what? Chaos. And you have to, if you take an aeronautic decision-making course, and I give you that definition, it's a systematic approach to aviation. The key word is systematic. And so you have to have standard operating procedures. And if you don't have them, you got to work them up, because that covers you during that fatigue and stress time to say, if you haven't heard the debrief from Sioux City, the thing that saved that flight attendant, where she said she read that checklist, it was like holding onto a life raft. She read that thing, and it was just training. She had just read that. It was great. She didn't even remember, but she had so much training. She was so reliant on that standard operating procedure that she had practiced. It worked fine for her, but you have to have a lot of training with it, okay? Just remember this. This is a good one.
Again, this is the USS Montana requesting that you immediately divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Please forget the course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision.
This is Captain.
Change your course.
So, this is the USS.
discuss as a crew communication prioritization workload if it has to do with safety and efficiency in the cockpit. And you have to look at yourself and say, can I look in the mirror and decide what's my fatigue level, stress level today, and can I do the job safely? And that's all I can give you. You know, we can shut down the times and stuff, but you can still run into this problem. Once again, it's an individual issue. Make it sure you recognize where your level is, okay? What I'm going to do on Friday, I'm going to do this. Half our life is spent trying to find something to do with the time we've rushed through life trying to save. That's from Will Rogers and the famous Okie, okay? So I'm going to slow down. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to say hi to the boys and girls. We're going to sit by the pool. We're going to jump up, get some squirrels in the tree. We're going to go inside and say, let's had enough, man. Let's take a nap. Sit by the potbelly stove, and we're going to rest. That's all I got for you. We have a bunch of handouts down at our booth, which is 4737. And we have a DVD right here. I have some here, but there's some down there. We got a bunch. On this is all our handouts that we have related to fatigue, stress. It has all the physiology videos that we have. There's 18 of them, like 10, 15 minutes with a review section you can use for safety meetings. It has a survival, eight course survival on there with a review section and all the tech reports. None of the jokes are on there, okay? They're classified. But you can get that, and that's really good for a safety program or any of your safety teams like that. And once again, we're in Oklahoma City. That's the email. If you need anything from me, rogers.v.shaw@fa.gov. I'll be glad to offload anything to help you out as far as the safety. We're trying to put together right now another DVD set like the physiology and the survival that have the eight subjects of the human factor course we teach, which is communication, conflict, fatigue, stress, risk assessment, SA, decision-making, automation and performance, and attitude, and risk assessment. Okay, we're trying to put that on this set for people to use in their programs and make it shoe leather so that you can get some educational stuff out there. One other thing before I leave you. Sir, you have a question? No, you can get that, though. I will send it to you, or you can download it. But if you send me your address, because I'll have to put it on a DVD because it won't take, if you want all the stuff, it won't take it, okay? But I'll be that. Yeah, get the email. Right now, it's no nap. Well, I tell you right now, if you read the paper, the NTSB, number one hot list, fatigue after the Buffalo accident, and the FAA are now putting together a committee, and they're working. They want more research on it, and they're looking at the different sticks, how much length of time between the things that you could do, and they're looking at it. But we're bottom feeders, okay? I don't know all those answers. I like being down there. What I'm saying is I don't know exactly what's going on, but they're looking at it big time because that is a big factor. My take on that is, yeah, you can short the flight program time, but if you're still going across time zones and you're still dealing with that kind of stuff, you're still going to have fatigue. And once again, it boils down to good crew resource management. How are you going to communicate? Are we up to snuff? And how can we work together to make sure we keep safety and efficiency in the cockpit? That'll be an issue because the individual issue is I have a person that says, They say they got a weight problem.
No more questions? Those of you who are interested, on behalf of the Flight Test Committee, we have a great information packet that's at the NBAA booth, which is 3335. Tomorrow morning, Marianne and I will be there from 9 to 10. But it's a great information packet on flight attendant industry-related articles and some checklists and some information on the Flight Test Committee and what we do and whatnot. And you're welcome to have one. We have them there free of charge. So, but thank you all. Yeah, 3335 is the NBAA booth number. It's right in the heart of the exhibits there. And you'll see Marianne. We're in the back counter there where the flight attendant and the other committees are represented. Thank you very much.